as a president.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast today. My name's Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we are thankful that you found WMIE 91.5 FM on your radio tuning device. I used to say dial, but you don't dial those things very often anymore. Actually, in our office, we still got a dial, but now you just hit the button and it goes on up. But we're glad that you are here. Thank you today to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. 536-5804. If you need any concrete or block work done, they have decades of experience here in Brevard County. They do a phenomenal job. You will be blessed by their work. And so if you're having some remodeling done, or if you're a contractor and need somebody to help you with that, listen, I've tried to do that stuff by myself in the past, have done it by myself in the past. You need to pay a professional and have it done. I have a friend, and they investigated it, and they discovered that it didn't save them any more money doing it by themselves than it did to have the professionals come in there, do it themselves. The person that had the concrete work done had a whole lot less fatigue in their body, and the professionals came in, they did it. They did it quicker, they did it better, and they did it for the same amount of money. So give them a call, 536-5804. You will be glad that you did. So I do want to let you know just a little bit of what is going on. This weekend we have a service schedule change, and that is that we will not be having our Sunday night service. I just found out about this. This coming Sunday night, October the 2nd, no Sunday night service. We will be having a potluck after the service on Sunday morning. And so if you are able to come be a part of that, your taste buds will be happy. And so anyway, that's what's going on. I will be preaching the word that Sunday morning, and always look forward to that. You know, I'm on this growing experience myself, not growing physically, but growing intellectually, growing professionally, growing spiritually. And I'm thankful for the growth. And at Merritt Assembly of God, we are growing numerically. We're growing in a number of areas, and we are very, very thankful for what God is doing. Do not accept stagnation and a plateau as your permanent situation. You and I, we need to be increasing. We need to allow the presence of God to increase in us. May His kingdom come and His will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. So I want to take you today to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. We were in Isaiah 41 yesterday, and I'll just tell you the latter part of chapter 41 deals with the folly, the ineptitude, and the abomination of idolatry, that they are incapable of telling you the things that have happened. Their idols are incapable of telling you the things that are to come. They are incapable of causing you to be overwhelmed, but God is not that way. God knows the beginning and the end, and He says that He is going to, in verse number 27, I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. Today, you can be God's gift to your community. You can be God's gift to your community. You know, one of the things that I do get pretty fatigued about is when we as the body of Christ end up attacking one another. That's a never-ending cycle. It talks in the scripture about people who were intoxicated or drunk on the blood of the saints. And here's what I want you to know. When you are accusing and attacking other brothers and sisters in Christ, you are doing the devil's bidding. And what happens is you develop an appetite once you have attacked and you feel satisfied about that. Then you develop an appetite that is increasing that causes you to do that even more. And it is time that God delivers the body of Christ from that critical spirit. It will cause you to lose your bearings. And the scripture makes it clear that when we are devouring one another, attacking one another, backbiting one another, that what happens is we will eventually be consumed. God is not going to allow that to continue to go on. So you want to treat the body of Christ. You want to treat that with love and respect. You want to treat others the way that you would want them to be treated. And so I want to encourage you, rather than trying to build yourself up by putting other people down, I want to encourage you to be God's messenger at your workplace, at your home, wherever it may be. Be a messenger of good news. And as a result, you will be God's gift to the community. So I'm very thankful whenever I get to meet someone that listens to me on the radio, people that I don't know. It happens, and I always like to run into people in less than our normal circumstances. Last week, I was on my way down to Melbourne at a hospital, making a hospital run. My vehicle was almost out of gas, so I stopped and got gas down there. By the way, Melbourne, your gas is cheaper than it is up in Central Brevard County. Central Brevard County, we could do something about that. I'm just saying, if the gas prices went down, I wouldn't be complaining any. And as I was there, I was filling up my gas tank, and I looked and I said, well, that looks like Pastor so-and-so that just went into the gas station there. It was a little convenience store. And as I got done, my machine didn't give me the receipt, so I was going to have to go inside. This pastor was coming out, and I got to greet a brother that I'd hardly ever get to see because we ended up at the same gas station together. Later that day, I was driving down the road, and I was actually on my way back home from the hospital call, and I saw this vehicle that turned in front of me at a traffic signal and said, well, that car looks familiar. And then I saw the license plate, and it looked like my son's license plate and looked like his car. And so I gave him a call on the phone, and we were sitting at a red light. He was in front of me. I was directly behind him. And I had dialed him. I told my phone to call him. And I called him, he answered, and I said, I'm the vehicle sitting right behind you. I said, I'd raise my hand out the moonroof, but it's shut, and I can't get it out that quick. And he said, hold on. He hopped out of his car, came back. I managed to get the window rolled down just long enough for him to give me a hug. And you say, why are you sharing this father and son moment with me? Well, first of all, it made my day. Second is when I went to, get ready to drive again, I look over, and the lady who was in the vehicle next to me was laughing because it brought a smile to her face that somebody got out of a vehicle to come back to the person behind them and give them a hug. You can do something like that, whether it's with a compliment, whether it's with a small gift, whatever it might be, you can be God's gift to your community, be a bearer of good news. That's what our testimonies are. Our testimonies is good news. God still is moving sovereignly in people's lives and making their situations better. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. You can make somebody with just a small little gift. My wife works for a company. Their office is relocated. And my youngest daughter is very artistic. And my wife went to her and said, hey, do you think that you could make some little customizable name tags that we could hang on the cubicles of every person who works in our wing? That way we know, first of all, where our cubicle is, and it would just be a little personal touch. And so it ended up being something that was so well received that people in other parts of the building said, do you think that I could get one of those? And so you would be amazed at what just a little bit of good news. Hey, good news. It's not as hot as it was. Hey, good news. It started raining, but we had just put the windows up in the vehicle just a short period of time ago. Good news. Share good news. If you get a good report of the doctor, share that good news. If you get good financial news, share it. If you get a promotion, share the good news, because God wants our communities to know that He is still actively involved. Let me conclude in Isaiah chapter 41. I really wasn't planning on talking a whole lot about chapter 41. It says, let's move on to chapter 42. Let's just go ahead and move there. Chapter 42, verse number 1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. This is a messianic prophecy out of Isaiah chapter 42. The servant being referenced here is Jesus. And so I want you to look at these four verses here. I want you to look at them as Jesus, our example. Jesus, our example. And here Isaiah is instructed by the Spirit of the Lord to say this, behold. Behold means to see with your very own eyes, to experience on a personal level, behold my servant. So the first thing that I want to share with you about this aspect is you and I were created to serve. We were created to serve the King. We were created to serve for His pleasure and for His purpose. We are His servants. So we need to remember that we are serving Him. In the New Testament, it says, whenever you've done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So it is not just the service that takes place inside the four walls of the church that counts, but it is service to the community that God died to save. And I'm going to show you from this passage of Scripture, it is bigger than an us four and no more mindset. It is bigger than your little socio-demographic. It's bigger than Merit Assembly of God. It's bigger than the largest mega church in town. You see, there's a lot of times that churches become so large that they become self-enclosed. Their calendar is so filled with their own activities that a lot of times they don't get to participate with people who do not look like them, talk like them, act like them, serve like them. And the truth of the matter is we are God's servant. And like I said, I'll just give you this little heads up, because a lot of times I start these stories and then I forget or get sidetracked and don't get back to finish them. But he says, I will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. This is what it says about Jesus the Messiah, that his service was going to result in justice coming to the Gentiles. Gentiles were looked upon in derogatory terms by Jewish people, but God said, the servant that I'm going to send to you, his mission is bigger than just redeeming the Jewish people. His mission is redeeming the Jewish people as well as all the peoples of the world. So your service can take on a little bit of a different meaning. Be on the lookout for service. You know, I encourage you, if you can open a door for somebody, hold it open for just 2 seconds. How many of you think that you could delay your pursuit of your objective for just a couple of seconds to hold the door for a sweet little old lady who that door is going to be a lot heavier for her to open than it would be for you to stand there and hold it open? If somebody drops something, you could be there to help them pick it up. You could stay after service and help somebody clean or to straighten up their room and prepare it for the next service. There are also, service doesn't have to be on a macro scale. I believe that God is looking for those people who will serve, whether it's serve big or whether it's serve small. They just have the heart of a servant. You know, one of the things that I remember from years gone by, and when I say years gone by, I'm talking like 20, and I made this hospital call, and it was a person in our church. It was their father, and when I went into the hospital room, they had something on their face, and I just reached up and I wiped it off of their face. They didn't know it was there. They couldn't feel it. They couldn't see it. And I just wiped that away so that anybody else that came in wouldn't have to see it, and that person wouldn't be embarrassed about it later. I don't even remember doing it. Here's how I remember that, or how I know that I did it, is the person, the family member that I was there to serve with said, I will never be able to repay you for that small little act that you did for my family member. And I didn't even remember doing it. Now, I've got some people in my church. They can tell you what happened in 1969. They can tell you what happened on a specific day, who was there, what they were wearing. I mean, they just remember all sorts of details. I have forgotten a lot of the things that I have done through, and honestly, my personality is made up of such that I remember my failures more than I remember my successes, because my failures taught me a lot more than my successes did. So I want to encourage you, be a servant, and be a servant that can be seen, not to draw attention to yourself, but that you can be seen as the servant of the Most High God. It says, behold my servant, not service for service sake, service for the glory of the King, service that will cause people to see that you are serving God. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to serve to the glory of God. Second, we need to cause people to see it. It needs to be something that people can say, why would you do that? And you could say, because my Savior did so much more for me. My elect one in whom my soul delights. My elect one in whom my soul delights. I kind of talked about this a couple of days ago. Not this exact verse, but there are a lot of Christians who serve with insecurities. And the insecurities basically originate from the mindset that they are really not that pleasing to God. Okay. Now, it would surprise you who some of those people might be. They are people who've been in a covenant relationship with God for years and years and years. But because of the family environment that they grew up in, where maybe their relationship with their father wasn't everything that it should have been, they have carried that image over to their heavenly father. They could never please their earthly father, and now they have the mindset that no matter how good they are, how holy they are, how much they serve, how much they read, how much they study, how faithful they are in their giving, that they're never quite measuring up to what God expects out of them. Okay, now I want you to know that when Jesus was baptized, this is what the Father said, behold, my son in whom I am well pleased. At the Mount of this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Would it surprise you to know today that as a child of the living God, that God who has chosen you, that his soul delights in you, that his demeanor, his disposition towards you is one of delight, that he calls you the apple of his eye, the object of his affection. He is the lover of your soul. He is wonderfully, wonderfully, passionately in love with you today. When you cross his mind, which is constantly, it brings joy to his heart. It brings joy to his heart. It says this, I have put my spirit upon him. In the New King James Version, that my spirit is capital M, capital S. It's referencing God the Holy Spirit. Today, I pray that you are led by the Spirit of God, that you walk by the Spirit of God, that you allow him to be in charge. I pray that you're not led by your emotions, not led by your best guess, but that God the Holy Spirit is resting upon you to the point that you walk differently than your carnal nature would have had you walk before. I remember watching a video clip. This goes back a number of decades, of a president and the first lady. I'm not naming which president or which first lady. And they were walking, and the president just reached out, and he had his hand. Now, there's all these Secret Service agents. They were going to some formal affair, and he just had his hand gently resting on the small of her back. And it wasn't a dominating position. He just had his hand there. It was an assurance, I'm here, this is the right direction that we are going, and I just want you to know that I love you. And like I say, it wasn't condescending. It wasn't dragging her by the hair or anything like that. It was just a calming, reassuring act that represented his continual loving presence. The Holy Spirit. God pours out the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 says to empower us to be his witnesses. Wherever we are, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, God is with you. God is with you. Now, we need to keep our ear attuned to what the Spirit says. I'm reading a book, and it's filled with examples where God intervened, and that intervention spared their lives. It's really, really good. So, he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And it's reaffirmed in verse number 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. We'll touch more on this tomorrow. But I want you to see, it's not a blip on the radar screen. God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. At Merit Assembly of God, no matter what your external appearance is, you are welcome to come and hear about Jesus. You are welcome to come and hear the word of truth. You are welcome to come and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are welcome to worship at his footstool. That's what heaven is going to, I've told you before, at the throne room in heaven, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and I believe every generation is going to be represented around the throne. Why should our church services only have one target audience? I never understood that. I know that there's people say, well, if you don't know what you're aiming at, you'll never know if you hit it. Well, My goal is this. I want to reach out to black, white, Hispanic, Eastern European, Oriental, Asian, Australian, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere. I want to reach out to every demographic. I want to reach out to every socio, rich, poor, middle class, upper middle class, destitute. I want to reach out to all of them because Jesus died upon the cross for all of them. So he says, I'm going to put my spirit upon my servant, and the result is this, justice is going to come. Justice is going to come. God is the definition of justice. He is the ultimate example of justice. In this world, there's all of this talk about injustice, and a lot of times people who don't have all of the facts are the ones that saying, this is unjust. God is not going to make that declaration with just partial facts or slanted facts or distorted facts. God has perfect awareness of the situation. He knows exactly what is going on, and God, you can rest assured, God is a just God, and he acts in justice, and he brings justice not just to the Jewish people, but to the Gentiles as well. Do you realize that there were people who were trying to keep people who were not of Jewish origin away from Jesus so that they would not experience the healing and the deliverance from demonic power in their children's lives simply because they were of the wrong ethnic group? That's not right. God says, I'm coming, I'm bringing justice. And when he rules and reigns, I've got good news for you. There is not going to be any more corruption. There's not going to be any more bribery. There's not going to be any more deception. There's not going to be any more obstruction of justice. God's going to clear the way, and his kingdom is going to come. It's going to be just. And now think about this. That's the way that God rules and reigns. Millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years of God's justice, and then the book of Revelation describes that Satan shall be loosed for a period, and would you believe that once he's loosed, people would once again choose injustice over God's justice and his mercy and his holiness? We live in a messed up time with messed up minds. If you're here, you're listening to this, and you want God's justice, let's say, God, would you make me a servant where your spirit rests upon me? God, don't cause me to be blind to injustice. Let me be a messenger of good news and justice for our society. You have a great day. May God use you for his glory. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.